Welcome to the StrongTeams.com podcast, where we help leaders build strong teams. Teams built on empathy, understanding, and trust, where every team member feels valued and contributes at the highest level possible.
Welcome to the StrongTeams.com podcast. My name is Steve Neesmith.
And I'm Rodney Cox.
And Rodney, our guest today is David Murrow. David is a true Renaissance man. He's an accomplished television producer, speaker, inventor, preaching coach, and last but not least, an author, selling 250,000 books in 12 languages. Of these books, he may be best known for his groundbreaking work entitled Why Men Hate Going to Church. One of my all-time favorite books, by the way, Rodney. David's newest venture is coaching pastors who want to reach more people online, which we're going to learn more about today. David, thank you for joining us today on the StrongTeams.com podcast.
Let's go, guys. Let's dive right in.
Hey, David, it's great to have you on the show today. I'd like to add my welcome. And you and I were kibitzing coming on. We spoke on a common platform a few years ago. Iron sharpens iron. And the gentleman in Phoenix that ran that for years has passed on. But what a beautiful deal and a beautiful time of men gathering together. And there you were speaking about why men don't go to church anymore. It was absolutely fascinating. And now you make a new statement. And so I'd like to talk about that statement, David. And you've written that preaching stopped working 20 years ago. What are you talking about?
Look at the numbers, Rodney. In the last 20 years, we have started the biggest decline in church involvement, in Christian worldview, the rise of deconstruction, and the rise of the nuns. This is an historic decline. You've seen this book, The Great Dechurching. There has never been a time in the church's history where so many people have abandoned the faith. And I put it back to preaching, not because what we're preaching is wrong, but because the way we present the gospel no longer works for younger people. About 20 years ago, we a whole new form of communication started. People stopped going to lecture halls to get their ideas and values and started going to the internet and social media. What they find there is not 40-minute monologues delivered live from a stage. It's short, persuasive video, memes, messages that are discipling people, drip discipling people for hours every day. So here's the disconnect. The audience is learning to be discipled by these false gospels that they see online that come to them visually interesting, captures their attention, and then persuades them slowly. Meanwhile, we are paying our pastors to go off into their study, spend, 15 hours a week preparing this lesson that they deliver live from a stage, has no visuals, no hook, slow introduction, 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes long, and then people leave with nothing to share online. So we are being out-muscled in the marketplace of ideas. We're still preparing our ideas for the lecture hall, but the audience has moved to the internet. So I teach pastors how to make their sermons more watchable, memorable, and shareable online, because that is where ideas are exchanged now.
You know, we're always interested in your professional journey. You know, how did you get where you are today and what birthed this message inside of you? And so, you know, I know your primary work's been in TV production. Isn't that correct?
Well, yeah. And that's really what kind of birthed the online preaching coach. I have produced over 800 television commercials in my time. Now, nobody likes television commercials. Everybody hates television commercials. The first thing you learn when you're making a TV commercial is you have to capture their attention in the first few seconds, or they're going to get up and go make a sandwich. Pastors don't know this. For 500 years, they've had an attention monopoly. A crowd is gathered, sat down, distractions were minimized, every chair is pointed toward the pastor, he's the most interesting thing in the room, and nobody leaves until he's done. Even if it goes long, even if it's dull, he can just stand there and talk as long as he wants. And so what this has done is it's made pastors reluctant to try to capture attention. It even seems unseemly to us. Like you'll get criticized. Oh, he's trying to turn the gospel into entertainment or a show, right? But I've been in the entertainment and show business, and I can tell you, if you've only got one TV channel, people are going to watch whatever's on it. And pastors have always been on the only TV channel in our churches. But when you put that sermon on the internet, There are a billion different channels. And if you are not willing to compete for attention, you're going to lose attention to the activists out there and the businesses that want to influence our children. And they're winning the battle and we're losing.
You know, you being in TV for years, full-time TV, and being a producer, you know, and using that medium, what kind of led you to become an author, put your thoughts in writing and expect people to read it versus see it?
Well, 20 years ago, I noticed what every TV program or network has a target audience. For example, the Lifetime channel targets women. The ESPN channel targets men. Now, there are some women who watch ESPN, and there are a few men who watch Hallmark, but they'd never admit it. So I was just sitting in church one day and recognized that my church, everything about my church, was designed to attract and retain middle-aged and older women. The pastor wore a robe. He kind of looked like a woman himself. There was flowers and quilted banners and a lace doily on the communion table. And he talked about love and relationships and beauty, and all the volunteer opportunities were cooking and visiting people in the hospital and caring for children. I mean, the whole enterprise was based around the talents and interests of a middle-aged woman. And that's what inspired me to write Why Men Hate Going to Church, was just recognizing that we were subtly targeting our message away from men and toward women. And in the past 20 years, I've done a lot of teaching. I've trained a lot of churches to become more welcoming to men and boys. And it's not about, you know, putting a false macho veneer on it. It's simply stripping away some of the false feminine things that we do that make the gospel less appealing to men and make them think that gospel is for their mother, for their children, and for grandma.
And so this latest book that you've written, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the Online Preaching Coach is not a book. But it's a movement that I'm getting going here. There's a recognition among pastors that something is wrong in the church. Even pastors of large churches that were packed 20 years ago, that the sanctuary, the worship center's half full. They're realizing that they are missing something and they don't know what it is. And what I'm teaching pastors is, look, you've got to make your sermons watchable, memorable, and shareable online. Because here's the thing. 20 years ago, when people visited a church, they pulled out a book called a phone book. You remember those? Yeah. You go to the phone book, and if you were a Methodist, you looked for the nearest Methodist church, and you had the service times, and you showed up unannounced. And if the sermon was great, you stayed, and if the sermon was lousy, you went and looked for another Methodist church or Baptist church or whatever you were, right? That's how you picked your church. Well, now how do people pick a church? They go to Google. And they type in this phrase, churches near me. And the one that always pops up at the top is the megachurch, because it gets the most hits in the area. And so people go to the megachurch's website, and then this really handsome jack pastor with the big muscles, and he's running around on the stage like a lion. And instead of posting the entire service, you know, an hour, he just do a little excerpt of his sermon, you know, and, you know, this memorable little thing. And people see those little short clips and they're going, hey, this guy's really got game. Let's give his church a try. Where most churches are missing out is instead of posting their sermon, they're posting the entire service. And so when people go and look for your sermons, what do they get? Well, they get a countdown. And then they get about 5 or 6 songs. And then they get announcements. And then they get another couple songs. I mean, the sermon is buried. People don't want to see all that stuff. They want to hear, can this guy preach? So I the first thing I tell pastors is don't post your service, post your sermon, because that's what people want to hear. Has this guy got game? Is he preaching the word of God? And so make it easy for people to find your sermons.
David, we're recording this podcast for those that are listening in 2024. COVID is still a big part of the conversation, but we're well past COVID as far as a crisis situation. So you may have answered this already, but is online preaching still a critical success factor for churches? We're not scrambling anymore to get people back, you know, that won't come inside a building. People are coming back to buildings now. They're shopping. They're going to church again. Is online preaching still a critical to churches?
I don't think live streaming is all that important. What is important is what you post on YouTube and on your church's Facebook page. Again, because of the way people look for churches. When they come to town, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to find service times and location. And then he's going to, you know, a young couple, he's going to look at her and say, hey, let's see if this guy's got game. Let's see if he's any good. I mean, your videos, your preaching videos are your church's audition stage. And if the preaching, even, and I'm telling you, every minute you trim out of your sermon makes it much more likely it's going to be watched. I teach something on my YouTube page called hybrid preaching. And what that is if you have a 40-minute time slot, what I'm training pastors to do is, you know, live, you do all your introduction, your hellos, your Bible reading, the background on the text, where we are in the series, all the things that make lousy television. Get all that done live, okay? Welcome your guests, prayer requests, whatever you need to do, right? But when you're about 10 or 15 minutes in, you ask everybody in the room to pull out their phones and shoot a QR code that pops up on the screen. And you say, all right, for the next 5 minutes, we're going to watch a video, which is the heart of the sermon, the gold nugget, the one point that I want you to take home from the sermon. This 5-minute video, I've pre-recorded, it's only 5 minutes. As you are watching this video, God may place someone on your heart. Ah, my friend needs to hear this. My sister and I were just talking about this. You know, if my coworker saw this, we could start a great gospel conversation. Now you've got it on your phone. You shot that QR code, right? Before, as I'm preaching it, as you're watching the video, send it out. Post it to your social media. Share the gospel as you sit in church. Now, then when the 5 minutes is over, pastor gets back up. If the Holy Spirit says it's time for an altar call, you do an altar call. If you follow up on a point that might not have been clear, you do that. But you're watching the crowd as the video goes, and you respond as God tells you. So this is the hybrid preaching model. You do a longer sermon live, but you have this short little video that can be shared as it is preached on Sunday. You bring the evangelism right into the service. Now, you take that 5-minute brief sermon, and that's what lives forever on your YouTube page, what lives forever on your webpage. Because now that young couple who's looking for a church comes to your website and they say, I want to hear what this guy preaches. How does he preach? It's 5 minutes long. It's shareable. Anybody can share it. Rodney, if somebody shares a 55-minute video with you and somebody else shares a 5-minute video with you, which one are you more likely to watch?
The 5-minute video, for sure.
Absolutely. All of this is about how do we present the gospel concisely and clearly in an age that is built around micro-content. And the other thing that I've noticed is Jesus was the master of micro-content. I timed all the parables of Jesus one time and took a median length. Stephen, what do you think the median length of a parable of Jesus, how long did it take for Jesus to speak the parable, the average length of a parable? What would you guess?
I'm going to take a wild guess, 5 minutes.
5 minutes was the median length of a parable. Rodney, what length do you think it was?
I think that the length was about a minute and a half to 2 minutes.
Okay. As I said, I timed every parable and took an average. The median length of a parable of Jesus is 38 seconds.
Wow.
That's the median. Wow. The longest parable in the Bible, and that's the story of the lost son, the prodigal son, 2 minutes and 20 seconds. The shortest parable, 5 seconds. Jesus would rock Instagram. Hmm. He would rock Facebook. He would rock Snapchat. Why? He would rock TikTok. Because he understood that if you tell people short little stories, they will remember them and they will share them with others. But mm-hmm. if you put the gospel in a big, long package, like the Pharisees did, they're going to forget what you said. And so that's what I'm working on. I'm just teaching pastors how to land the plane quickly, build curiosity, and get people sharing their messages instead of the sermon being delivered on Sunday and it's dead by Sunday night.
So what are most pastors and churches missing in their streaming presentation in church today? Is that it? Is it these small bite-sized pieces and making sure that's the only thing that gets out to the internet, or is there more?
Streaming is one thing, but what lives forever on your videos is the most important thing, because that's what people share. And what I see is some pastors are like, they're at step one on this process. There's actually AI software that'll go through your sermon and clip out little clips. Okay, so that's a start. They're recognizing that people are not watching 40, 45-minute sermons. So they're having people clip out little pieces. And the big guys are doing this, like Stephen Furtick and, you know, these celebrity preachers. They're putting these Andy Stanley and Joel Osteen, these big TV preachers. They know TV. And so they're doing these clips. But what I'm telling pastors is start with the clip. Build your sermon around the clip. Okay. And then the thing that's really blowing pastors' minds is I think every sermon, we need to stop thinking of sermons as the be all and end all and think of your sermon as a jumping off point for a week of study. So if you have this short sermon that people are sharing, it would lead to a link that would say, hey, would you like to have daily time in the Bible on this topic? And so if I'm preaching on prayer on Sunday, they could also subscribe to our church emails. And guess what the Monday email is about? How to pray without ceasing. Tuesday, how to pray in faith. Wednesday, all the daily emails and daily devotions build off the sermon. We have this technology now that makes Acts 2:42 possible again. You remember that verse, right? The apostles had everything in common. They sold everything. You know, everything was great in the church. The other thing that they did that we miss is they met daily in the temple courts under the apostles' teaching. Now, for 500 years, that's been impossible because we've had to physically gather. But now we can teach the body daily through email, through push notifications, through this technology that God has given us. We can not only preach a sermon on Sunday, but we can follow it up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Build it all around the object lesson that you did on Sunday. Reinforce it again and again and again. The disciples heard Jesus's parables over and over and over again. And it's that reinforcement piece that builds our, you know, you can't just hear it once. We know from educational theory, if you tell somebody something once, they're going to forget it. But if we reinforce it all week long, they will be much more likely to live it out. And if you get them into the Bible all week long, even better.
So we think relational capital is incredibly important. And, you know, the more and more that we see content online, especially from churches, the more and more that we're seeing maybe God's people become apathetic towards returning to church or actually fellowshipping with one another. So we get all the content we need. We get all these excerpts. We get these push notifications. We get all of this stuff. So that means that we don't have to look each other eye to eye anymore. And we don't, you know, we're not building the relational capital. We're not having the casual conversation or the lunch where we discover that, man, my relationship with my daughter just blew up and I don't know what to do next. Or I've got this crisis going on in my life. You know, how would you walk alongside and journey with me? So talk a little bit about, you know, the more and more that we move this material online and the more opportunities we give online or push notifications, whatever, how's that impacting the connect, you know, the people's ability to connect, truly connect and build strong, healthy relationships where we walk in the light, we journey together, we confess our sins one to another, and we have fellowship with one another?
Well, it's not an either or. We are already in a historic crisis of loneliness and isolation and individualism in our country. So we are going to have to start establishing trust, and people meet online all the time now. I was in church the other day. I met two young couples. Guess what? Both of them met online. And that online relationship turned into an actual marriage. And these were Christian couples. They met online at a Christian dating site and they're wildly happy now. So I don't think we can just simply ignore the online world and say, look, if you don't come into our building, we have nothing for you. That is not going to achieve the Great Commission. The church has been so adaptable with the gospel in the past. You know, when the printing press came, what was the first thing we put on it? The Bible. When radio came, one of the first programs was a preacher. When television came, Billy Graham had his famous television crusades. I mean, we have always adapted the gospel to new mediums. And we've had to adapt to the format of those mediums as well. And this is what crushes me about the internet. We are not adapting the gospel to the internet. We are still saying, if you've got 40 minutes, I can tell you about Jesus. But if you've got 40 seconds, I got nothing for you.
Interesting. You know, you talked about the mega churches are already doing this. Talk a little bit about how the small church, you know, on a small budget, kind of for lack of a better word, competes in the online preaching space. And, you know, talk a little about that.
Yeah, I'm going to be working with a small church in Texas here, and we're going to be doing a series of hybrid sermons very soon. And this is not a huge church, but I talked to the pastor, and he's just wild about this idea. This idea that a sermon could be shared as it's being preached and is the appropriate length for online outreach. I mean, you think about it. You're sitting in church, you got 200 people or 100 people. If 100 people have that QR code and they've got the sermon on their phone, what happens if 50 of those people share your sermon as they're hearing it or put it on their social media? You've just now, and each of those people has 50 friends, you have the potential to reach 2,500 people with your sermon. And again, if it's a 40-minute, 12-point sermon, 50, the people aren't going to open it. But if the center of the sermon, the gold nugget, what I call it, the gold nugget, is just 5 minutes long, and it makes a single point, and it's got a really strong visual to it, captures the attention, you have the potential on every time you step, even if you're in a small church, every time you step into the pulpit and you're preaching to a crowd of 100, you could reach 2,500 more people through their social media if they were sharing. But the problem is we're not sharing because the content we're creating is not suited for the internet. It's built for the lecture hall.
Yeah, but I mean, 90% of the churches that I know of in the States don't have a media department, aren't producing, video. They're procuring, at Sermon Central or places like that, all kinds of media in order to enhance what they're doing, but really can't do, high level production. So speak to that for a moment.
Actually, every pastor is carrying around a television studio in his pocket. It's called a phone. It's got a camera here. It's got a microphone. You can set this thing up on your desk, and you could just talk for 5 minutes, and you could just do a quick object lesson or something that relates to your subject, but something that captures attention right away. For instance, if you were preaching an Easter sermon, you set up your camera and you got a nail and you say, I'm about to put this nail into the palm of my hand. I'm looking for a hammer here. Boom. That would work on TikTok. I mean, people are going to say, is he really going to drive a nail through his hands? And so you just make the point that why would a man drive a nail through his hands to show his love? If you had a child and someone said to you, I will kill your child unless you drive this nail through your hands, what would you do? You would do it. This is a demonstration of God's love for us. It's short, it's simple, it's one point, it's shareable. It come to a conclusion, and at the conclusion of the 4.5-minute point, you say, this God loves you and he wants you to know that. And if you want to come join us at Shadyside Church, blah, blah, here's the information or whatever. You can make it an evangelistic tool. You can do whatever you want, but it doesn't require a big television studio. It requires a nail. It requires a cup. It requires something. Jesus, again, was the master of the object lesson. Show me a coin. Behold, the fields are white unto harvest. He was showing us how to land the plane quickly. And our seminary professors are teaching us how to make the plane into a jumbo jet. And we need to send mosquitoes out. We don't need to be sending jumbo jets out because mosquitoes are what's discipling people today. And we're losing the battle for their attention and their hearts.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting. All of us are shooting with iPhones today, right? We don't buy expensive SLR cameras anymore and, do multiple shots. And, we're shooting 4K and it's our iPhone that we pulled out of our pocket, right? It's unbelievable. I couldn't agree with you more. And I love your thought and your heart towards the object lesson, right? It's not the what, it's the how, and it's the method. And I think that's really, really important for our listener to hear. And, and we can drive deep connection. We've all experienced it when we're watching a video or when we're watching a movie or whatever. You can drive deep connection. You just have to be purposeful about that. And we all desire to do it. David, before we jump and start talking about how people can maybe reach out and grab your free mini course, because I know that you're going to offer that today. And And I think it's an excellent mini course. You know, Stephen and I try and do our best to formulate our questions to really get your heart out on the table and your passion out on the table. Is there anything that you wish that we would have asked you here today that we haven't, that that you'd like to for us to ask and to expound on here for our listeners?
Well, I think just to the pastor out there, even the small church pastor, this is not hard. You may not have been trained in this, but you know, like we said, you don't need a lot of fancy gear. You don't, you know, a phone and a tripod is usually all you need. What you need is creativity. When you go to the text, ask God to show you, what is this like? And create a little parable, a little story. You already do sermon illustrations. You do them with words, right? Just, you know, do it with an object in your hand. That's the only difference, because again, you're competing in a visual medium now. You don't have a captive audience that's going to sit there until you're done, or yeah, and you got to capture attention right away. That's what I keep telling pastors. You can't, well, good morning and welcome to Sunnyside Church. It's so good to see all of you this morning. And by the way, you know, last weekend I was out fishing, and you know, you can't do that. You've got to give people something, a reason to watch you right away. Those are the two most basic pieces of advice that I would give to any pastor. It doesn't have to be fancy, but it does have to capture attention quickly. And it's got to be about the viewer and not about you.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, David, thank you. Tell our listeners how they can find you online.
Well, if you go to davidmurrow.com, that's where all my stuff is. The free mini course that you mentioned is there. It takes less than an hour. It's called the 9 Commandments of Great Online Preaching. And I will teach you 9 different skills you need that you can use this Sunday to make yourself a more effective communicator, both online and in the room. Because here's the thing. If your sermon is good enough to be watched online, it's going to be a smash hit in person. So use those techniques to make yourself a better speaker and a more effective communicator. And then I have a YouTube channel that I'm just in the process of building right now at Online Preaching Coach. You can also go there. But davidmurrow.com is a great place to start.
And that's Murrow, M-U-R-R-O-W. And so davidmurrow.com. Well, David, thank you once again for being our guest on the strongteams.com podcast. We're grateful for you. Our listeners, I'm sure, will be blessed by this. It's right in the heart of our target audience. We really appreciate you carving time out of your busy schedule to spend time with us and our audience. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Well, until we meet again, God bless.